Please remain standing for the reading of the word. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself, since he says, Where I am going, you cannot come? And he said to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And he was saying these things as many believed in him. Church, this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, last Sunday, Pastor Tom preached on John 6, and that was the first of the seven self-descriptions of Jesus introduced by I Am. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is truly the bread of life that satisfies the real hunger in our souls. Today we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 8, and we'll be looking at the second of Jesus' declarative statements, I am. I am the light of the world. The events of John 8 record Jesus' teaching at the Feast of the Tabernacles, also called the Feast of the Booths. The seventh day of the Feast of the Tabernacles was marked by water pouring and lamp lighting ceremonies, which Jesus alludes to when he announces that he will provide streams of living water for the thirsty in John 7, and that he is the light of the world in John 8:12. And this is going to be the subject of our message today. By way of the setting, Jesus was speaking to his audience in the area of the treasury located in the temple. As most of you know, his audience was predominantly Jewish, but it also included some Gentile converts who had converted to Judaism. All of which, the Jews and the converted Gentiles, they had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, church, notice here that Jesus didn't say he was a light in the world. He didn't say that he was a light in the darkness. He didn't say that He was a light to the Jews or light to the Gentiles or any other people group for that matter. He declared, I am the light of the world. Well, as expected, the Pharisees were very quick to find fault with Jesus' words. Jesus calls himself the light, not in the context of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, but in the context of God's plan of redemption for his creatures in his universe. When Jesus declares, I am the light of the world, he's making a claim to be the prophesied Messiah. Well, the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees, would have been very, very familiar with the messianic promises found in the book of Isaiah. One example of those promises would be found in Isaiah 49:6. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The Pharisees well understood what Jesus was saying here, and they immediately went on attack, as we see in verse 13. They accused him of testifying about himself and that his testimony was not true. And this is important. The Pharisees were not only declaring that Jesus' testimony was inadmissible, they were declaring his testimony to be false. Basically, the Pharisees were accusing Christ of being a false witness. Now, church, I don't know about you, I tremble at the thought of calling the Son of God a liar. But that's exactly what the Pharisees did that day. And that's what unbelievers are still doing today. I really like the way that R.C. Sproul has phrased this when he observed that this is what every unbeliever in the world says to Jesus because the spirit of unbelief accuses Christ of being a false witness. Now, we need to ask ourselves, how did Jesus respond to the charge of being a false witness? Okay, let's go to Scripture and find out. First, Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. Jesus said his message was based on firsthand knowledge of heaven, that he had come from there and that he was going back there. Second, Jesus said, you judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. Now this is another very important point. Jesus is not saying here that he would not serve as judge over man. He is saying that he will not judge according to the flesh. He judges from the perspective of heaven. Most importantly, Jesus said in verse 16, yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Well, Jesus' bottom line here is that he did have a collaboration as to who he was and who he is. Not only did he bear witness to himself, but God the Father also bore witness to Jesus. I think that's a pretty unimpeachable witness, but apparently not for the Pharisee. Well, as expected, they continued to question Jesus, asking, where is your Father? Failing to understand that Jesus was speaking of God the Father in verse 19. Jesus replied, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Well, as Christians, we need to really pay close attention to that statement, because many people today claim to know God as their Father, yet they reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But brothers and sisters, you cannot know God the Father and reject the Son. The Father bears witness to the Son, and the Son bears witness to the Father. However, the Pharisees continued in their disbelief that Jesus was the Son of God and the light of the world. Not only is Jesus the light of the world, but his truth will set you free. Please turn with me in your Bibles to John 31 through 38. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To abide in Jesus' word means to continue believing what Jesus has said and to continue to walk in obedience to him. In fact, the NASB translation of verse 31 reads, "If you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine." So, ladies and gentlemen, if continuing in the word is a characteristic or mark of a disciple of Christ, what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? Well, first, we are to continue believing in Christ's word. As all of you know, we live in an age of celebrity pastors preaching false doctrines such as the prosperity gospel, or even worse, attempting to incorrectly interpret the word of God to support some political agenda or some societal agenda. But as believers, we are to study God's word so that we know his teaching and we cannot be led astray by false teaching and doctrine. We have to know the word of God in order to continue in Christ's word as a disciple of Christ. One of the challenges I think we all face is now we see distortions of God's word, and they're very nuanced, they're very sophisticated. So if I can assure you, if you're not in the word, many cases you will not be able to pick up on those distortions and those lies and half-truths. Secondly, as disciples of Christ, we must continue in obedience to his word. Now, this is not to say that as believers we won't continue to battle with sin. We do, I do. And we have that sinful fallen nature. But we cannot be slaves to our sin. As the Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans 6, 15 to 18, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Church, I think that really does bear repeating. Thank God. Having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of righteousness. Additionally, we must continue in God's word even in our darkest hour of trials and grief. Many of us here have lost loved ones, children, spouses, aunts, uncles. And it's difficult, it's impossible to find the words to describe that pain. And that pain is always going to be with us. But as disciples of Christ, we must continue in his word even during our darkest and harshest tribulations. The Pharisees responded to Jesus' teaching with their usual righteous indignation. They were quite good at that. They were furious with Jesus for suggesting that they were in bondage and needed liberation. "We are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." Well, the Pharisees were counting on their lineage as descendants of Abraham to get them into the kingdom. Now, before I criticize the Pharisees too much, I have to catch myself because sadly we often encounter that same attitude today, especially here in the Bible Belt. Okay, how many times have you heard people make statements like, "Of course I'm a Christian. I come from a long line of Christians. I was born a Christian. My grandfather was one of the founding members of this church. I'm here every time the doors are open. I even attend the business meetings." Wow. Many professing believers attempt to make the same argument as the Pharisees. However, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Scripture is very, very clear on that. Jesus then responds to the Pharisees' challenge in verses 34 to 38, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offsprings of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Church, when the Lord says, truly, truly, I say to you, we really need to listen carefully to his words, and these verses are certainly no exception. Jesus makes it clear to the Pharisees that he is not speaking about slavery to the Romans or some other master. He's not speaking of someone being an indentured servant or some occupying power. He is speaking clearly here of slavery to sin. For Jesus, the ultimate bondage is not enslavement to a political or an economic system, but slavery to moral failure in rebellion against God who created us. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. As the Son of God, Jesus exercises full authority given by God the Father to liberate the slaves. Jesus went on to remind the Pharisees that even though they are Abraham's descendants, they want to kill him because his word has no place in them. His word has no place in them. He then tells the Pharisees in verse 38 that I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. And these words really do set the stage for some of the most intense discussions that Jesus had, or that we have recorded in Scripture with the Pharisees, and also brings us to our next major point. Church, we're all members of one or two families. You're either in God's family or you're in the devil's family. You're either walking in the light of Jesus or you're living in darkness. And this is exactly what Jesus tells the Pharisees in John 39 through 47. So if you would, please follow along with me in your Bibles as I read these verses. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to him, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father did. And they said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Those are some of the strongest words that I've read in Scripture. Brothers and sisters, these verses don't leave any room for misinterpretation. There is no doubt, there's no mystery here. Jesus is very, very clear here in his discussion with the Pharisees. You are either from God or the devil. The Lord drives home this truth that if the Jews do not enthusiastically embrace and love him, it must be because they do not know the Father. Well, as expected, they couldn't bear to hear his word because they were of their father, the devil, and were not truly Abraham's children. Their very behavior contradicted their claim to be Abraham's children because Abraham believed God, and we clearly see that in these following verses that I'll briefly read to you. In Genesis 15:6, testifies to this verse stating, And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Romans 4:3 tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Galatians 3:6 teaches that just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Finally, the words of James 2:23 collaborate these verses by affirming that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Well, it's certainly pretty clear at this point that the Pharisees aren't a friend of God, certainly not a friend of Jesus. In John 8:44, Jesus tells the Jews that you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. In other words, Jesus told them that you belong to the devil. And because you belong to the father of lies, you do not believe me when I tell you the truth. Additionally, in verse 47, Jesus tells the Pharisees that the reason why they do not hear the words of God is because they are not of God. Wow. Well, what can we conclude from these verses? I think we already know. Everyone we meet is either of God or of the devil. We're either in the family of God as a result of accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, or we belong to the family of the father of lies. Which family are you in? That's the ultimate spiritual question we all have to answer. Well, Jesus continues his discussion with the Pharisees in verse 48 through 59. In responding to Jesus' charge that they were sons of the devil and not of God, the Pharisees answered him by saying, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Yeah, I really love the way they worked in the Samaritan and demon all in the same sentence. It's amazing. Jesus answered, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Well, despite the false charges and hatred of his opponents, the purpose of Jesus' coming to the temple that day and had this very intense discussion with the Pharisees and all that he had to say to them, he was concerned about the salvation of his hearers, just as he's concerned about our salvation today. And he was not concerned about his own personal self-promotion. And his concern for their eternal souls is highlighted when he declares to them in verse 51, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Jesus offered hope to the Pharisees, his accusers, but their response was to accuse the Son of God of having a demon. When the Pharisees asked Jesus, whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went outside of the temple. Now, Jesus' response to the Pharisees when he told him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am, it so enraged the religious leaders that they attempted to stone him to death. And the fact that the Jews took up the stones to kill him gives us a very, very clear indication that the Pharisees understood exactly what Jesus was saying. They understood Jesus' words as a blasphemous claim to deity. Their response to the truth and the very means of their salvation was to attempt to stone to death the Son of God. They were ready to stone him for blasphemy, when in truth they were blasphemous for rejecting Jesus Christ and his message of salvation. Where do you stand today? Are you abiding in God's word and growing in his truth? Or are you in bondage to Satan and his wishes? Today is the day to decide to stand in God's word and receive the gift of eternal life through the true light, Jesus Christ. Abide in God's word so that you might indeed be free. Well, as we close the message today, I want to briefly touch on John chapter 9 and his account of Jesus healing the blind man as he was leaving the temple. So if you would, just please turn a few pages over to John 9, and I will be reading verses 1 through 7. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. He anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." Ladies and gentlemen, these verses are proof of the truth that sets you free. The man's blindness is a wonderful illustration of the blindness that we all had, both spiritual and walking in the darkness, before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And as the story of the blind man continues in John 9, we see how the man grows in spiritual insight and faith. First, as we've just heard, the man they call Jesus, he refers to in verse 11. Then in verse 17, he refers to Jesus as a prophet. And then in verse 33, he refers to Jesus as from God. And finally, we see the blind man in verse 38 as one who worshiped Jesus with the confession of, "Lord, I believe." I can think of no better way to close our message today on this beautiful Palm Sunday than with the words, "Lord, we believe." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for giving us the gift of the light of the world, the only light, your only Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your words that teach us to walk in the true light or experience darkness forever. Father, thank you for these compelling words of Scripture. Help us to bow beneath the power and glory of your word. Help us to understand how urgent these truths are. Help us to keep Jesus Christ as the light of our lives. We pray that unbelievers may accept him as the true light and come to believe in him, to no longer walk in darkness, but to follow Jesus all the way to that glorious light of heaven. Lord, now we ask that you use these things that we have learned today to enlighten us and to make us all aware of how important it is to be lights in the world for this terrible darkness that blinds men's hearts. Use us, Lord, to be the light. Just as you are the light of the world, we thank you for that great privilege. And like the blind man, let us proclaim, Lord, I believe. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.